Good morning.
Welcome to Inside Petaluma. I am Cindy Thomas, your host with co-hosts Jason Davies and Jasper Thompson.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. Another Friday of fun talk about Petaluma.
We love Petaluma, don't
I
we?
I love Petaluma. You love Petaluma, Jan?
Absolutely.
All right. Just making sure.
And it's not.
So, we got lots to talk about this week.
Oh, lots of things happening.
A lot of things happening. What happened down there on Keller Street yesterday?
Yeah, that's kind of scary. I got that news yesterday, forwarded it to you, and it's in the paper. So there was a bomb threat. Downtown Petaluma business received a bomb threat by email Thursday morning, claiming a device in the building would be detonated if a demand for cryptocurrency wasn't met, police said. I'm not sure why they want bitcoins. Aren't they going down in value? But anyway, Petaluma police responded to an office located on the 100 block of Keller Street at approximately 11:01 a.m., and found there was no credible evidence related to the email. According to news reports, spammers have sent threats demanding Bitcoin to businesses, schools, and other organizations across the country, prompting numerous evacuations and law enforcement investigations. Police confirmed Thursday's threat is not specific to Petaluma and advised any other recipients to not click on the link in the email. Additionally, police are recommending all businesses follow their procedures for handling suspicious packages and bomb threats. In the event that a suspicious device or package is located, do not touch them and contact local law enforcement, police said. This is from the Argus Courier article.
Today I read in the, I believe it was in the New York Times this morning, that this is like nationwide. It's not just in Petaluma. It's a big problem, and it's not going to stop, I don't think.
So, Jason, you're the techie guy. How are they distributing these emails? Is this
spammers take a number of approaches. I mean, sometimes they'll just find domain names and they'll just randomly. Info is a good one that people use, so that gets into an inbox and then usually gets forwarded to others. It's not hard to spam people. The question is, what's the motive? Who's doing it? Is it a prank? And then the whole process of trying to delineate between, whether it's a real threat or not is obviously difficult. But as far as spamming, it's not difficult to do.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that there's just only one event that we've heard of here in Petaluma, so there must be a science to their, a method to their madness.
I mean, most spamming is to sell a product or to swindle people out of money. I haven't really seen these kind of threats before in a spam situation. Usually the motive is there's usually no threat of violence. The typical one is a phishing scam, phishing scheme, they call it phishing, where they'll send something out, an email from the, quote, the IRS saying that you owe taxes or something. And, there's phone calls that happen like that as well. I don't know if you've had calls like that.
I'm on the IRS. I'm waiting for them to come get me.
And I had one recently. Actually, I got quite a few from Apple, Apple, and they're not from Apple, but they tell you there's been a security breach, you've got to contact them, and then they start asking for all this information, and it's a complete scam. And if you call Apple, they'll tell you they don't ever call like that. And it's a similar thing with
the IRS. They don't call either.
So, the first thing to do when you're getting an email is often what can happen is you'll see that it's from an address that you recognize. So one of the ways these work is if you click on a link, it can actually go into your mail program and it can get your address list. And then once they have an address list, they're not going to send an email from one of your known contacts because they can't do that because they're not sending an email from that contact. What they can do, though, is they can use that as the name that appears in the from field of the email. So when you first look at the email, it looks like it's coming from a friend or something. But if you click, not on the attachment or anything, but if you click in the from field, you can see then what the actual email address is.
I've done that when I've gotten emails from myself, which is spam.
Yeah, so anytime you get an email that, I mean, I got this in a business, actually. I got an email from a company that even used the logo and the signature, and it was an email asking for money, you know, saying that I hadn't paid an invoice or something. And I'm looking at this going, this is weird. I'm square with the company. What's the problem? And I didn't recognize the contact that was listed. I'd never heard of the person. It's a relatively small organization. I know everybody in the company. So I contacted them, and they said, oh, by the way, Jason, yeah, this is a scam. And if you click on the front field, you'll see that it wasn't actually from our company. So, yeah, it happens. People just need to be really careful. But I'm glad that this wasn't a serious threat, but it was certainly newsworthy and you know, with these kind of things, you never know, so you've got to take them seriously. You know, the biggest problem is the whole boy who cried wolf scenario where, you know, you get enough of these fake situations where then you may not take a real threat into serious consideration, of course. So it's a difficulty for the police. Yeah. Anyway, so that was a news item yesterday. Had some people scared, but fortunately, no real bomb, and everyone's okay in Petaluma.
Yeah, a lot of news items this week. A lot of
stuff.
The biggest one, I think, is the Army Corps of Engineers not including us in funding for our river dredging.
Well, it's a major drag.
It is. But I kind of want to just talk about the title, what the Press Democrat titled their headline: "River Survival Threatened." And, you know, the bottom line is the river will survive.
Yeah, it will.
And so I really wish that the newspaper would think before they put titles on that are misleading. Because the river will survive. It was a slough before it was a river. But the bottom line is the dredging of the river is important because more upstream development, the Army Corps of Engineers documents state, you're going to have more flooding down in the basin.
Yeah.
And you know, the real question is, actually somebody asked me this the other day and I didn't have an answer. You know, like down by Dutra, down by the riverfront, you know, when all that development happens, all that runoff goes in, and how does it affect the river? Even though that silt is going to be in a different area, we may be silting the river up more than anticipated because of these development projects. And so it's a real problem for the community, and I'm not sure if the Army Corps of Engineers next time around in 2020 will hopefully will have more clout with Congress.
That's a shame that we got to wait 2 years for that, though.
Well,
but we've been waiting a long time.
I think we're 15 years overdue or something.
I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't really understand this. It's funny. I know people who lived in Petaluma for many years, and because we call it the Petaluma River, they don't actually get that it is a slough. It's technically not a river.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, naturally, it will continue to build up with silt if it's not dredged. And, of course, we built on the floodplain, and, of course, we have some good flood control, but that's dependent on continuing to dredge. If we don't dredge, those flood control.
It's a great flood control project,
exactly,
is what it does.
Exactly.
I mean, and I really appreciated Teresa's statement because that's what she referred to.
Exactly.
And so she's really looking at protecting the community, and that's what we should be looking at.
For the listeners, would you repeat Teresa's statement, or do you?
I have it right here. Hang on a second. Yeah. Let's see. What did she say? Just so I say it exactly, she said that, hang on, well, this is what she said, but beyond commerce or slimming retail profits, what worries Mayor-elect Teresa Barrett is the taxpayer-funded flood mitigations that became far less effective. And what the city needs, the community needs to know, the city spent over $40 million. We lobbied back in Washington, D.C. to get that money to protect the community. And so that's what she's referring to. We need to protect that 40. It was actually more than $40 million project.
Yeah. Well, with that said, is there any way of appealing this decision? Does she have the clout or...
No, this would have to go through Jared Huffman. Yeah. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
You just have to move on. But I do want to bring up something else that I thought was interesting in this article. And this is from Mackenzie Phillip, who Mackenzie Smith. In November 2017, Petaluma Yacht Club Commodore Mackenzie Smith estimated river traffic provided 1.2 million annually to area to local businesses. Mm-hmm. I always heard the number was around 400,000 or 500,000, and you never really got confirmation about how much money has actually been brought in by the boating. And so I really question the 1.2 million. And these are the kind of things when I'm reading an article, I'd like something to substantiate. Okay, where does this information come from?
Supporting data.
There's no supporting data. And this is the problem I have with these articles.
Yeah.
Besides river survival threatens,
yeah,
as the title, then you have some information in there that is just not substantiated. And so those, yeah, are things that for years I've been actually wanting to know and haven't been able to get the answer. But it's a problem.
Well, our representative suspects that politics may be involved. Of course, Huffman has been one of the congressional representatives who has called for Trump's impeachement.
Yes.
I applaud him for doing. But he does make the comment. He said that at this point, he said, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't smell right. So he thinks, this was actually the quote from the paper. It said, at this point, reeling from the news of a defeat, the congressman said he's entertaining every possibility to try and figure out how best to approach the issue going forward in a district heavily skewed toward Democrats with a reputation for constantly challenging President Trump. There could certainly be a political motive. So
I would agree with him on that.
Yeah.
You know, when Trump got into office, yeah, I said to myself, the dredging is never going to happen.
Well, you saw the look on Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown's face when they were standing next to Trump.
Priceless.
And they were trying so hard not to school him on climate change. And the reality was, we need the money.
Yeah.
And with someone as vindictive and petulant as Trump, unfortunately, that's I guess the way you have to deal with them.
It's frightening. We have a child as president of the United States, yeah, that doesn't know how government works because he's basically been a crook his entire life.
Hmm.
So if people, government is not as crooked as maybe we thought.
Well, we've survived 2 years.
Sometimes it's hard to believe, but we have.
Yeah.
We just have to keep moving forward, and
yeah,
I really trust Teresa to work closely with Jared.
Yeah.
And I think it will happen, and the sooner the better.
Yeah. We may have to look at some other ways that we just fund it ourselves. I don't know.
Well, somebody said a GoFundMe, and I will tell you, I am not a GoFundMe person because you can't track that money, and it's not a good way of doing it, in my opinion. We can talk a little bit about Petaluma Valley Hospital. Good news,
yeah,
that we actually have a hospital or a contract between St. Joseph's and the Seventh-day Adventists. And because of that, women's issues will be addressed better than it just being St. Joseph's, which actually kind of prohibited some women's medical needs, which was always a problem 20 years ago when Sherry Cardo and I, we were two people speaking out against St. Joseph because of women's health issues, and here it comes back around. So it was great to talk to Elise today that they've come up with kind of a solution. Is it perfect? No, but it's a really good solution for right now. And the most important thing is the community needs a hospital, but we're still not out of the woods because now the community has to vote to approve this, I believe.
Mm.
And 60% of the people in Petaluma are with Kaiser. But those Kaiser patients, in case of an emergency, are sent to Petaluma Valley. So they
are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they really need to understand it's a symbiotic relationship. And I'm hoping this campaign will be as successful as Measure M, and people will really get behind it. But it's a 30-year lease.
I was just going to say, that kind of is hard for me to swallow.
Yeah.
30 years is a long time. I mean, you know, for me, I'll be dead by then, but I've already gone through 20 years of the last one, and now I've got another 30. I'm not going to make it, but it's I think it's too long.
Yeah, well, and I'm probably a little
Jaded? Yeah, I'm a little bit jaded, yes. That's, I'm a little jaded due to the fact that my union represents that St. Joseph's and Santa Rosa, and they're very difficult.
They're playing some games right now.
They're very difficult to work with.
I know an employee there that they're trying to, if the employee moved to Petaluma, she would have to work more hours. They won't let her go from 4 to 4. And so they're trying to break the union.
Oh,
they
yeah.
always are.
Oh, they always are because, you know, their thing is that God wants you to do this work because that's your charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a problem when the bishop gets so involved in deciding what health issues are for women when they still can't deal with molesting children.
Yes. And people in the community know these things. It's not like you get a headline that says, oh, hooray, we've got a contract in the works, and Petaluma is going to be saved now. We've got health care, and it's all going to be good. Yeah,
it's not that easy.
Yeah,
I went to a forum the other day at the library, and there was a panel and talking about mental health issues in Petaluma, and it was heartbreaking listening to parents whose children are schizophrenic. They're schizophrenic because of drugs, and just because of biological homelessness. The drug problem is really horrendous in our community. And there's a lot to be desired for what's going on in with this. And I had a great talk with Elise. It was a really good panel, but I came away a little concerned about there's really no solutions. And it's a lot more serious than I thought. And I just decided to go to this meeting kind of at the last minute because I was just interested. And listening to these parents, one woman, 26 years, she's been dealing with her daughter and drug addiction.
Another, what kind of drugs? Just curious.
Probably meth. And, in and out of, institutions and, well, not in and out of institutions, in and out of drug rehab. And, you know, you kind of go back to what was the value of institutions about actually getting people cleaner, understanding their mental health, making them healthy so they can go back into society. But we don't have that anymore.
Well, placing them in an institution is not the answer. If you put them in the institution that has a very strong mental health program, now we're talking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's
now
exactly
we're talking.
Right.
And to just lock them up because they're naughty kids and they do drugs is not the answer.
No, that's not the answer. Yeah. You have to have a whole program behind it, and it has to be a two-year program. And you have to have resources afterwards so they can have jobs and places to live.
Exactly.
I mean, I think fundamentally we need to be looking at the drug problem as a health problem and not a crime problem. And I think that the problem with the approach that we've had is that it hasn't solved the problem, and in some cases it makes it worse.
Well, there was an officer down there, and I can't think of his name. But he's, you know, very active in this. But there's also volunteers, you know, down at the police department that, you know, really help out. And I got a package of information to talk about or to read. And I wanted to share today. But I will tell you, the information is almost too daunting even to share because I don't understand it enough. So I'm hoping that they can come on the program maybe in January and really talk more in depth because Elise was willing to come in also. Because it's not something that the three of us can do. It's a big problem, and you really need some good guidance instead of just throwing out information that we really don't understand. But there are areas in case people do need housing. Mm-hmm. You can contact the police department to, you know, get a list of housing, winter housing. There's not a lot. But it is available. Petaluma really has a problem. We have cots, and we don't have any. They're not taking any more people.
Hmm. So, yeah. And that's the other thing. They're not taking any more people, which has caused a little small encampment to develop right there down the street at the end of Caulfield.
Exactly.
That's now a big problem.
Yeah. No, I mean it's a problem. And you know, there was just recently in the paper that there were some robberies by the Freedmen.
Yep.
And then, you know, then they're into the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They were into my neighborhood going through cars. And I'll tell you, I'm very, very concerned with raising the freeway and having more access to the river. how's the city going to address homelessness moving from one place to another or having more sites?
They're everywhere. If you look at most of the housing developments that have these big cement barriers that, that go into the development and all the shrubs, they're all full of people that are living in those.
Well, and it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
Sanitary and unsanitary. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And we're not doing a very good job.
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer.
Well, and it seems like we're moving in the opposite direction on a federal level in terms of the tax cuts that happen that affect people at the very top end of the income spectrum. And when you start doing that, you run out of funding to put into programs that can help these people.
That's right. And, you know, billions have been put into the military that isn't necessary.
Exactly.
And that money could go to locals and to states and then down to the locals.
Yeah.
And people would have a happier lives, you know, safer. And people using drugs are safer also.
I mean, it's very sad. I don't know how many have happened this year, but I do recall, I mean, every year it seems like we have a few homeless deaths, people freezing to death, dying of opioid overdose, you name it.
And they did talk about that the other night.
Yeah.
But you kind of left heartbroken because there really isn't a solution. And I didn't feel like the panel had a big, good solution either, and I'm sure they didn't feel that way either.
Yeah.
So, but we can talk about something positive. The American Airlines is going to be flying out of Santa Rosa to L.A. and then to Dallas, which is pretty exciting.
That's wonderful.
You know, I think that really shows a county that's really changing when you're starting to get an airport that's getting having more airlines going to different areas in the So that's kind of an exciting thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because I've flown out of Santa Rosa a few times, and, boy, it's really nice.
It's convenient.
I love it.
It's very convenient.
I love it.
Yeah.
Where did you fly when you
went? To L.A. Yeah. And then I think just to L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe to Phoenix once, but then I went to San Antonio.
Yeah. I've flown to Seattle.
Oh, okay. I haven't done to Seattle.
I've tried, but
Actually, yes, I have.
Every time I've done it for where I've needed to go, it was either not possible to book because I didn't do it enough in advance, or it was a lot more expensive.
Right.
But I'd much rather fly out of there than having to. Well, now I take the airporter to SFO or to Oakland, typically. It'd be much nicer if I could just take the smart rail.
I haven't done
the airport is actually great.
Yeah, I've done that for years.
Nice. You know, my wife used to drive me to the airport.
Yeah.
And I started to realize, this is ridiculous. I mean, she's driving there. She's dropping me off. She's driving back. It's taking so much of her time. You've got to pay the tolls on the bridge and everything.
You're using up all her time. Don't forget that.
Exactly. And she was happy to do it for a while. Now it's like it doesn't even come up. It's just like I'm dropping you off at the bus stop.
Yeah. $30 or $60, you can do it the other way.
I mean, every now and then, if it's a short trip, I'll just drive and park. But it hardly ever saves money, and it's not even that convenient. I mean, with the bus, it just drops you off, and
that's nice.
You don't have to worry about parking and then getting a shuttle.
Yeah.
Well, when we were kids, of course, you always drove people to the airport because it was so exciting.
Yeah.
And you stood by that window until that airplane took off, and I remember it was a TWA flight, and I don't know if people know Valerie Talcott. She was with the Animal Services. Okay. It was her parents. And her brother and her, they were flying back to New York, or back east, because that's where her mom was from. And we took them to the airport, and, you know, you would dress in heels, suits, gloves, hats, and, you know, you got dressed up for these flights. And it's just, it's like so vivid in my mind. It's exciting times, you know, it was the first thing. And, you know, those are the days you could bring guitars on the plane or not, you know, it was exciting.
Yeah, now you have 2 seconds to get next to the curb and kick that person out.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, but
so
Santa Rosa is becoming big time.
You know, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings about it, to be honest.
Why?
Well, just because I don't want it to get too big. I mean, I grew up in the Silicon Valley, and I lived in L.A. before, and one of the reasons I'm here is because we're not that.
Yeah.
And so, I a certain amount of growth is inevitable, and I support a certain amount of it. And obviously, if I could fly out of Santa Rosa versus being part of, you know, being on the road, you know, going to SFO or Oakland, it's a good thing. But yeah, at the same time, I hope we don't overdo it. We have something very special and precious here.
We're not going to let American Airlines in Petaluma. Don't worry about it.
No, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, if you look at that whole area in Rohnert Park, and it's starting to remind me of what Silicon Valley was like.
And Rohnert Park is getting a downtown. Remember how we always used to say Rohnert Park is the city with no downtown?
Look at Windsor. Yeah. I mean, you know, Windsor grew a town, and Rohnert Park has wanted to for a long time. They started kind of with their library, and then they were going to build it from there, and it's finally happening.
Windsor's done a great job.
Yeah, they have.
I was
creating a town.
I've had a number of friends who happened to stop in Windsor, and they were telling me all these great things about it, and so I had to go check it out for myself, and I think they did a pretty good job with the whole town green.
They did.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Deborah
Fudge had a lot to do with that, and she gets a lot of kudos for that.
Great, and has a lot to do with Rohnert Park getting it downtown.
Well, that's true, and I have to say, Grayton does a lot. Yep. For the community, for our community health center, they put money into it.
Oh, I know.
I'm
not a casino guy. Yeah,
I'm not a gambler. I went there actually last week with my cousin. We decided to go eat at the casino. Sure. So we went in, and of course, the first thing you smell is smoke, which I don't particularly care for.
Oh, they allow smoking?
Yeah, because it's an Indian tribe, Federation. It's not, doesn't go to other rules. Yeah. And so I didn't particularly like that, and I was just watching all of these people gambling, and it was more interesting just standing and watching people. I had no interest in putting any money in those machines.
You know, I
didn't have any penny machines or nickels.
I do need to go to it because I have never been to it.
Oh,
and my sister went there, and she said it's kind of a kick. She lives in Cotati, so she can actually see it from her house.
Kind of like Russia?
My sister's much brighter than that.
I still love that one.
I can see Russia from my house.
She actually never said that, though, you know.
You're right.
That was Tina Fey, but she did say that part of Russia is visible from us. Anyway, we got on a weird tangent.
But you know, it would be fun. You know, we should go down there someday.
But no, I'd like to go.
Check it out.
Because I'm just curious. I mean, do they have entertainment?
They do.
They have entertainment, and they have really nice areas that you can rent for parties. Mm. The Measure M party was in a beautiful
facility. That was sounding too much like an advertisement, so we need to...
Oh, okay. Well, no, I mean, that's where Measure M was.
Willie Nelson was there recently. I mean, they have some big acts there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I'm just out of it. I gotta pay attention.
We could stop by there on our way home from picking up our Emerald Cup passes.
Yes, we could do that. I'm trying to get.
I didn't get mine.
I'm trying to get a third.
Oh, well, that would be great.
I don't know if they're going to come through, but
that would be cool. I'd appreciate
I'll
that.
I'll let you know.
That would be great. Yeah. You know, we can talk a little bit about city mismanaged water lab tests.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, this is my son-in-law happens to work in the wastewater plant in Davis, and so I wanted to ask him some questions on this, but we didn't talk last night. I forgot to call him. Yeah, it looks like there was a whistleblower.
That would be the assistant operations manager, Patrick Durain.
Wait a minute. So a public works and utilities department manager is suing the city, alleging wrongful suspension, discrimination, defamation, and unjust retaliation in response to his whistleblowing efforts after uncovering numerous positive samples of bacteria in Petaluma's water distribution system. Wait a minute. Is our water bad?
Well,
is that what this means?
Well, Mr. Durain says that we have coliform
in the drinking water.
Excessive amounts of coliform in the drinking water.
Yeah. That's getting into our taps?
Yeah. But wait, he's on administrative leave for this. He's been on leave since February, and I bet we're paying for that.
I'm sure we are. Yeah, and this is just coming up now. So
I've been drinking tap water.
Why?
Because I
trusted
thought
people.
Thought it was safe to trust these people, yeah.
Maybe sometimes when you get that burst of chlorine, that's because some of the tests are coming back.
Maybe that's why he's bouncing off the walls when we get here on Friday.
I'm not seeing anything in this that says that it's actually a danger in the water that comes into my house. So I want to need to read more about this. But they probably chlorinated enough to where it's not an issue. I haven't gotten sick. I drink tap water all the time.
Well, and another thing is they're talking about the grades, you know, mm-hmm. different grades. And, you know, when you have a grade, I think you have like 1, 2, 3, 4, and you
right.
go up to 5.
Right.
Only because my son-in-law had to take these tests, and I
right.
think he's a 3. Well, what's interesting is here they're talking about the system operator with a grade 5 certificate, but yet the person in, who's on leave is the only city with a D5 classification, the claim said. So if you are a D5, you actually can run a plant. A D4 can't.
Right.
D3, they would be in different areas. So was he running the plant?
Well, he's the assistant operations manager, so he's right underneath the person that can.
Right. So is there 2 people with D5s? I'm just curious.
Well, I would hope that the assistant would have the same qualification as the
well, it says there's
operations
only one.
Manager.
It says
okay,
there's
here it
only
says
only one
employee.
It says Durain is the only city employee with a D5 classification.
You only need one for the wastewater plant.
Yeah.
That's my belief or understanding.
Misrepresented multiple times, multiple items.
Artificial
integrated system.
Regardless.
It's a concern that when somebody whistleblows that they're actually taken off out of their position.
Right. I'm trying not to wear my retired
right.
union representative cap, mm-hmm. but allegations are just that. They're allegations.
Right.
We don't know the circumstances under which that they put him on leave.
Right.
Whistleblowing is not illegal.
Right.
It's not breaking the law. So mm-hmm. why would they put him on leave?
Well, it raises questions.
It does raise questions.
And you just kind of, you question. You know, the other thing about the wastewater plant, which is interesting off from this subject, is that, you know, for like big businesses, they are actually taking that sludge, you know, from like Lagunitas or I believe Clover and trucking it down to Oakland. You know, so the wastewater plant definitely needs some upgrading and, you know, for bigger businesses.
So this is interesting because Public Works Director Dan St. John declined to comment on the personnel components or any allegations in the claim, but said, this is important, said he's never heard of a positive sample at the Ellis Creek Lab, which is subjected to heavy scrutiny by multiple agencies. That makes me feel better that maybe, you know.
Anyway. Well, you don't know who.
I feel like I'd be sick.
You don't know who their legal counsel is. It could be Michael Cohn.
I feel like I'd be sick by now, though, if it were actually
coming
out of the trap. No,
because you can have trace amounts and you're not going to get
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, then maybe it's okay.
You
know, I did go in the Petaluma River once and actually went underneath.
Ooh.
I used to water ski in that river.
So maybe this explains a lot of things about me. No, maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that's what's wrong
that's
with
the
me
problem.
No matter what, the Petaluma River still has a lot of debris going down it.
Sure.
If you go south of the factory outlet and go on that property where they want to develop, there's a whole bank there that just drops silt into the river. I mean, a lot of silt. I went walking down there and have pictures of it somewhere on my camera. I've got to find them. Hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of problems with the river. And, you know, we're a farming community. You know, you go up north and you see off Stony Point Road when all that gets flooded. Mm-hmm. You know, that water goes somewhere. And there's a lot of animals up in those areas. Mm-hmm. And it's low lining. And so, you know, we just have to realize that the river definitely probably is not the cleanest. But it's a great asset.
You know, when I used to water ski in there, and this, we're talking 50 years ago. It wasn't exactly very clean then. I mean, we definitely made sure we didn't get water up the nose type stuff and closed our eyes if we were under.
You have other orifices you got to worry about.
Yeah.
But this isn't actually where our drinking water comes from.
No.
This is just about what gets put into the river.
This test.
Yes.
That's.
Okay, because our water is actually coming from Russian.
I think
river.
Our drinking water.
Our drinking water comes
fine.
From Russian.
This is not about our drinking water. No, this is, no, you're right. It's not about our drinking water. This is actually
about what we're putting into. What, the
yeah, system. And yeah. And you really have to decide. I mean, yeah. I mean, we don't know. Is it the polishing ponds that that they're testing? Because those are the ones that the water goes out in the wintertime right. into the river.
And so drinking water is
so the drinking
fine.
Water is safe.
Good.
Yeah. Sometimes when they have those big bursts of chlorine, though.
It was fun letting him be scared.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. This is the wastewater treatment.
Exactly.
This isn't where we drink the water.
That's right.
Now,
you want to have clean water going into the river.
Absolutely. Yeah. And ultimately, I know that this plant could be upgraded if we wanted for full tertiary treatment to where we could actually be drinking it. But
we could be.
But not at this point. Uh-huh. All right, moving right along.
Moving right along. and actually, you know, you got to give kudos to the wastewater plant. I mean, it's a great place. It's a really good facility.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope that they figure out what the heck is going on and this is actually dealt with in a positive way.
And it's much better than it was. I mean, we had some really bad stuff going into the Petaluma River years before.
We can talk about Sunday, Barbara Lee. Congresswoman Barbara Lee.
That's right.
Is coming to Petaluma to the Santa Rosa J.C. Ellis Creek. Is it Ellis Creek? The Petaluma J.C.
Yeah.
And it'll be her and Lynn Woolsey in conversation. And it should be pretty exciting to hear what she has to say. She's smart. She's a great representative. And I think it'll be a great conversation sitting there listening to Lynn and Barbara Lee.
Yeah, two really great progressive women. That's going to be good.
Yeah. And so actually it's $30.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 2:45, so people should probably get there about 2:15 to 2:30.
And it's a benefit for literacy.
And it's
work.
A better benefit for literacy works. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually on the Friends of Literacy board. And so the literacy works. It's great. We have about a 90% success rate right now with students. I went into the bank and I was talking to this young man who was, you know, had an accent. You know, he was from Mexico. And I asked him if he knew anything about literacy works, and he's in the program, which is exciting. And then I was having some stuccoing done at my house, and there was a young man, he was 19, and I looked at him and I said, hey, what about college? What do you want to do with your future? And, you know, education. And I asked if he knew anything about literacy works. Well, he is going to the JC. So I got his name, and I gave it to Rita and Paul Heavenridge, and, you know, then they will contact him to see if he might be part of be eligible for the program starting in January. And I think it's really important because they get resources. You know, how do you go from point A to point B? You know, and those resources are available. And it was really, it's great when you meet young people who want to make a difference in their life. And it's just exciting to me. And this is why I can't stand Trump and what he's doing to people in South America and Mexico. I mean, these are my neighbors. These are friends.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting being part of Literacy Works and seeing how positive something like this can be for young students. Mm-hmm. And so I hope people get a ticket for Sunday.
I have a ticket.
Great. Excellent.
You got a ticket, Jason?
I don't have one yet.
Are you going to go?
I have to check with my wife, but.
Oh, boy.
Well, she's invited.
Oh, I know.
So you could buy two tickets.
Yeah.
That would even be better.
Yeah. Probably. I just, you know, my weekends, I always have to, like, check in and see. So.
Okay.
I will try to make it. I mean, I know we got to get a tree. There's a bunch of stuff we're doing this weekend, but we can probably put it in. I mean, I want to see it. I like them both, obviously.
Well, yeah.
People want to check it out more. They can look in the Artist Courier, or they can go online.
Yeah, there's a nice quote here where Barbara Lee's talking about her relationship with Lynn. It says, "We served together as co-chairs of the Progressive Caucus and worked together to develop policies that empowered the American people, reduced our military footprint, and uplifted struggling families.
Yeah.
Lynn is one of the most thoughtful, compassionate, and independent thinkers to ever serve in the U.S. Congress, and it's a joy to call her my friend. So this should be interesting.
It's pretty exciting. She represented us for 20 years.
She did, and Lynn endorsed me when I ran twice. So I do need to go.
I used to lobby a lot in Washington with my job at the union, and those were my two favorites to call on.
I went to her office once. She wasn't there, but I was able to go in, and I actually took a picture of myself sitting at her desk.
Oh, my God.
With my hand, I took the phone, and I pretended I was talking on the phone.
Jason. Okay, if you go on Sunday, then you better bring that picture.
That's a good idea.
Ask her to autograph it.
That's a good idea. She lives right down the street from me.
In Lynn's office. I thought you meant Barbara's office.
No, never. I haven't been
Lynn,
to Barbara's office.
Because
Barbara hasn't been my representative. I mean, I'd love her to be, but I'd have to move to Oakland, I guess, or Berkeley.
Oakland,
Lynn wouldn't care.
No. So, we can also talk about the article, A Cold Night Outside.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had local people.
Local community leaders spent the night outdoors with the shelterless.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say shelterless instead of homeless. I hate that word.
I know.
It's awful.
So,
what did you say? You like
shelterless. The shelterless people.
You like that versus homeless?
I hate homeless.
Yeah.
That's sad. I mean, it's true, but...
I'll tell you, it was like I say.
So it's a euphemism, for it makes us feel less guilty and happier about it.
Well, it's kind of like COTS, community on the shelter list.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, I know. I just wonder. I mean, I'm actually trying to figure out: is it a euphemism for homeless, or you just think it sounds better?
I don't know. Whoever. I mean, I COTS is where I heard it from. I thought, shelterless just sounds less
a bit more human.
Crass than homeless.
Well, these people stayed outside,
mm-hmm.
and one night can give you a little idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
But some of these people, they don't have shoes, they don't have good socks. Yeah. I mean, there's so much missing, and the mental health, and
the whole mental health thing. A lot of people don't understand. These people don't have access to nutritional food, and not eating a nutritious meal on a constant basis does things to your mind.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, it's just like children
going
to school.
Crazy. They're deprived.
Right.
Yeah.
And, a lot of times creating their own situation, and sometimes they don't want society to help them. It's a real problem, but I think it's always good to do things like this and bring awareness to the community, what's really happening in your community in Santa Rosa and the entire county of Sonoma. You go down to, 2 years ago, I went down to L.A. for some CE units, and I could not believe seeing all of these makeshift tents in the barriers on streets.
Yep.
And that was just a wake-up call. And then, going down to San Francisco...
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping Gavin Newsom can get his arm around this somehow.
I'm seeing it everywhere. I mean, I was in San Jose not long ago, right off of the freeway, off of 101, going to by Oakland.
Oh, Jeff London Square.
LA.
Have you been down there under the freeway?
Yep.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, we need to do a better job.
I think it really starts with mental health. Getting people healthier and having places that they can live, and
also it's
a problem.
Yeah. How do you go for a job interview if you can't take a shower first? Or if you don't have clean clothes, it creates this cycle where you can't get out of it.
That's right.
It's
it was interesting. One person said that if you have a car to sleep in, mm-hmm. it was better. At least you had something.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people don't even have a car. To sleep in.
Yeah. And as far as clothes for a job interview, Petaluma People Services Center. I when I retired, I took a lot of my stuff in there so that people do have clothing to go and interview for jobs.
Sure,
well, a few years back, Basin Street actually offered a space right by the river on First Street. Mm-hmm. And because Jerry went in there and painted it, and it was somebody from COTS put this together, and it was a clothing store.
Okay.
And then I don't know what happened, but they had to leave the space. And so the negative was Jerry did all that work, and Basin Street benefited from it. And then, you know, the closet was closed. And I don't know what it was called, but it had to do with
pots. I remember that.
Yeah, and it was really nice. I mean, everything was on hangers. People could come in and shop. They could try clothes on. And it was men and women. You know, and it's so important. It's so important to have clothing. It's so important to have showers, food. And it's heartbreaking. Yeah, we can look about voter turnout shows east-west split.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I want to say my area in Rainier has come to the other side, come to the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pretty happy about reading that.
Okay. So for the benefit of the listeners, it's always been historical data showing that the west side and the east side vote exactly opposite. So,
yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
And so it was, the east side is looking up.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing. So.
Well, one of the things that Brian Sobel, who we had on our show, had mentioned in the article was that the demographics have changed a little bit, and a lot of the people that are on the east side are newer residents. And the Rainier thing is not a big issue.
That's
and that was the one thing that, you know, Mike Harris kept yeah. throwing out as a big talking point, whereas a lot of these new homeowners, residents, are, you know, they're starting families and things. They're relatively new to the area, and they're more concerned about parks and things like that. So that maybe was an issue that didn't resonate as well. And the other thing Brian mentioned, which I knew very well, was Teresa ran an incredible campaign, Teresa Barrett.
She rocked every day. Yeah. She ran a campaign to win.
Yeah, and she didn't ignore the east side.
She
you know, sometimes what has happened in the past is some of the candidates have just kind of figured, oh, okay, the east side is more conservative. I won't bother voting there, but walking there. But she certainly did.
Yeah.
So she's holding the sign saying we have 10 more minutes.
That sounds good.
Jason, I'm not supposed to say that.
Everyone knows our secrets.
Well, also, Brian talked about the school board race.
Yep.
And he raised the issue that, you know, what happened to Lulabelle Sites was a turning point. But the unions also were behind these candidates.
Yep.
And I do want to do a shout out to Frank Lynch, who responded back to Caitlin. Because I asked her, I said, did the other school board members and the incumbents, did anybody reach out to her? And Frank Lynch did.
Oh, good.
And I thought that was great because I think he'll be... he can be a real mentor, even though they're saying, oh, they only have 2 years' experience. He has a lot of experience.
Yeah. Well, when we
And wait, I want to mention that Caitlin is coming on our show on the 28th.
So oh, cool.
You guys need to tune in for that.
Well, yeah. I'm really glad it turned out that way, because when we had Brian on, I remember I brought up the idea, well, you know, maybe Caitlin could get enough votes. You know, is it still possible? Because this was before the final votes were in. And he was pretty certain that couldn't happen.
Statistically, it looked like she could not make that up. But that's how many votes. Which we've never had that many votes.
I mean, you had 80% turnout.
Exactly.
I mean, that was record.
Yeah. And Brian goes by historical data, so.
Well, I'm glad that he was incorrect.
But that was a significant number, 347 points or whatever. That's significant.
Yeah, yeah. No, in normal years, that would have been a tough hill to climb.
Right.
But she pulled it off. I'm really.
And I think she's going to be great. I think the whole board is going to be good. I think new blood is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the learning curve, they'll do fine.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of guidance.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
And they have the passion and excitement to do it.
Yes, they do.
And I saw that Dillon Beach has a new coastal kitchen.
Really?
If you want to go to the beach and have some better food options. I don't know how often you've tried to get any food at Dillon Beach, but there's pretty much one
place.
Oh,
yeah, there's not much. Exactly.
Well, now there's a really nice coastal kitchen.
Nice.
It looks quite good. It's a little more expensive than it used to be.
Who's running it?
Well, this is running by, let's see, who is the name of it? Mike Goebel, who's best known locally for opening Brewster's Beer Garden.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So he's revamped this place, and I looked at the pictures online, and it looks quite good. And they have some interesting clam chowder. So
it's Friday.
It is pricier, but I'm definitely going to check it out. It looks good.
Well, we can talk about dog owners. Don't let this be you. Since I have a new dog, Coco Chanel, the Wonder Dog, who I just absolutely adore, my little golden doodle.
Is that really the name? That's cute.
Her name is Coco Chanel, the Wonder Dog. And, so I haven't had a dog for like 9 years. And I was raised in the country. We didn't pick up the dog poop. And so now we're having to change our ways. I take her on a walk. We go down to the park. I have little baggies always with me and, you know, pick up her mess. And people really need to understand that they need to pick up their dog's mess. It doesn't matter if you're up on La Cresta, you know, in a field or in a field on the east or west side. You need to pick it up because there's bacteria there. People are walking.
It runs off into our stream.
It runs off into the stream.
Ends up in the river.
Yeah. And it's just, and it ends up on your feet.
And there's some really cool poop bags that you can get at Rivertown with Trump's face on it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I bought the biodegradable one.
Well, yeah.
You know, I don't even have any dogs. I'm just going to get some of those bags.
You know, I like two.
Carry your lunch in.
I have two dogs, I think.
I knew you had dogs.
But what I don't get is, you know, so many of these parks have free bags.
Right.
And yet people still don't.
But this is not a park. This is up on La Cresta. They're specifically talking about up there in this article.
Okay.
And so.
I know where La Cresta is.
Yeah,
I think
people go up there and just let their dogs run, and they,
yeah,
they just need to be more thoughtful.
Yeah.
I guess there aren't any poop bags right there.
My daughter lives in Davis, and she's right in, close to downtown, and she's on a corner lot. And one day she's looking out her window and some dog is, you know, crapping on her lawn. Mm-hmm. And the lady, she looks at the lady, she calls to the lady, "You need a bag?" And it was just so embarrassing.
Well, I think I was telling you before we started, this is a real deal. There's an apartment complex that actually requires tenants to submit DNA or submit
fecal matter. I read that.
So they get DNA from the dog so that later if they find some dog doo, they can identify it. And stick you with a big fine. And part of me thinks that's really weird and gross and creepy and all that. But on the other hand, if that keeps people from doing the wrong thing.
Well, you have to take that DNA somewhere. So I always like to know a little bit more than the conversation. Who does the science behind it?
Well, you wouldn't want to have a false positive.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Blame for somebody else's dog. Or, you know, you carry around one of your neighbors that you don't like. You carry around a sample of their dog poo and, you know, get them in trouble somewhere.
Well, speaking of neighbors, there's one thing that I'm really hoping that the city council is going to take up this year. Yeah. And this is motorhomes, boats being stored on city streets. Because these people are parking their cars on other streets. And we have a guy down at the other cul-de-sac, and he's a firefighter for Marin. And now he has his boat hooked up to his truck. So he just has to move it every 3 days.
Great.
And so this is like...
Is there a rule about
it? There's a ruling, but the ordinance is really weak. Mm. And so it needs to be updated. And so this is one thing I'm hoping that the city will actually take over. And it's not just in my area. This is a citywide problem.
Yeah.
So with that...
All right, with that. So we're getting short on time. So what's going on this weekend?
Barbara Lee's. Sunday, Santa Rosa Junior College. Mm-hmm. It starts at $2.45, $30 for the tickets. Right. It's Barbara Lee and...
And there's the Emerald Cup.
We have to mention the Emerald Cup because the Emerald Cup has provided us with media passes.
Yes.
Jason and I will be going and covering the Cup this year.
And I'm hoping maybe I can go too.
I'm going to try to. And, you know, the other possibility is it's a two-day event.
Yeah.
And so if we only have two passes... We can maybe have
you. Well, on Sunday I'm out because I work with literacy.
Well, you could go up there and
burn
a few before you go to see.
Oh, yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Well,
but anyway, it's a great show. Yeah. I've been before, and
I have gone, but never with the press pass.
The press pass is nice.
And I went very late. I went last year, and it was like the last couple hours of the event, just to kind of check it out. And the thing that was interesting to me is I go to a lot of trade shows in my industry, and I've never been to a cannabis-oriented trade show, and that's they have like a little expo there where they have.
I've been to trade shows.
So imagine booths with different samples,
and people actually smoking it.
Yes.
Yeah. And they have every kind of product you can think of: bath bombs, chapstick infused with THC.
It's pretty crazy.
It's great. And then there's a certain point where you now that it's legal, I don't know what it's going to be like. No. But before, you had to have a Prop 215 card.
Uh-huh.
To get past the gate to go in and actually sample. So,
well, Jason, you better get on this. I want to
get
that.
But it's not just that.
I'm working on this.
It's not just that. They have a great lineup of music. They got Big Gigantic is going to be there.
Yep.
STS9. There's going to be some big.
Willie Nelson's going to be there.
No, I don't.
They're just going to give him an award.
That would have been fun. Well, you know, at the talk, you know, at the library with the homeless, that discussion, they did talk about kids and vapes and. And, you know, how parents deal with speaking to their kids.
Uh-huh.
So it's another topic on another day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Caitlin's coming the 28th. I'm not sure.
28th.
I'm not sure what we're doing next Friday, but it's going to be good, and you guys need to come back. And you need to go to our website, InsidePetaluma.com, our Facebook page, KPCA Inside Petaluma. And you just need to listen to us every Friday from 11 to noon at 103.3 FM, KPCA, right here in Petaluma.
Thank you.
Or if you miss the show, you can
always listen to
it. That's right.
So InsidePetalima.com, you can hear all our archived shows as well.
We will see you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
KP.